Well, today is the beginning of the new season in the church that we call Advent. The word Advent means coming or yet to come. This is a season in the church year when traditionally it was a time when you studied from God's Word and learned about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And this we're going to begin today in talking about. Some know this season as the Christmas season, some know it as the holiday season, some sadly know it as the shopping season. I always enjoy going out on Black Friday. It's kind of a tradition that me and my two kids go out on Black Friday, not really to do any shopping, but just to go out and to see friends and just to have a good time. I realized this past Friday and said to my daughter, "Oh, I know why we do this. We do this so you can show me what you want for Christmas." But it is a fun time, and I always sit as I watch people scurrying here or there and seeing people, as I like to watch people, thinking to myself, what a great time for Jesus to return immediately and imminently. It's a season of preparation. It's a season of preparing for the big day, so to speak, that everybody's getting ready for, as if our whole life centers around and focuses on this one day, and there's so much that we have to do that we have to whip ourselves into a frenzy so that we're prepared. And I really have never, ever heard of anyone being totally prepared for Christmas Day. In the world, we see things during this time of year like Black Friday. I saw the other day on one of the commercials about a Black Friday survival guide. So sad when we have to think of this year as a time to survive. It seems like this season has developed into a war. It's us against the season and the season's expectations. And it causes us to act in certain ways that are not only not human, they're not loving, and they're not Christ-like at all. We fight, assault one another with stun guns. Any of you see that on the news? We trample people down to get in the stores for material things. What a shame. In the church, it's the season of Advent. It's a season of remembering. As we look back and remember what God provided in the past in Jesus Christ, when as He prophesied thousands of years earlier, He would send a Messiah, He did in Jesus Christ, in the baby in the manger, that God was true to His Word. It's also a season of preparation as we turn the corner, so to speak, and we look down the corridors of the future, preparing because God said that Jesus is coming back again. That there's a day sending His Son back to gather His people. I want you folks to think about the immensity of that promise. We have a God who not only loves His people, but He sends His Son at an appropriate appointed time to bring His people back home. He sends for us. No other God does that. The God of the Muslims does not do that. The Far Eastern mysticism religions do not do that. Confucianism does not do that. The New Age teachings does not do that. Hinduism does not do that. In those religions, it's up to us and what we do to go there. Our God comes for us in Jesus Christ. And it's a time when we remember that God was faithful in sending Jesus the first time, and we look forward to Christ coming the second time. And the Bible is full of prophecies that Christ is coming back. The question is, will anyone be prepared for that big day? We say, well, when will it happen? How will it happen? What will it be like? And what should we do to be ready? Well, it's not unlike the disciples and the people of Jesus' day. In Matthew, Jesus was in the city during Holy Week. He was teaching about many things, and He was teaching His disciples about His second coming. We turn to the 24th chapter of Matthew. We find that Jesus was leaving the temple and walking away with his disciples. And they said to him, look at all these buildings. Look at all these great buildings. And Jesus said, you see all these? I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one of these will be thrown down. And Jesus went out to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples said, tell us, when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus went out teaching about the signs on the earth, about what was about to happen. And he said, watch out that no one deceives you with false prophecies and false teachings. And he tells about the signs of the end times, what will happen before his coming. He also tells about signs of things that are going to happen in the sky. The sun will be dark and the moon will not give its light, and so on and so forth. And at that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They'll see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he'll send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they'll gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. You see, he'll send for us. He goes on to teach his disciples, no one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Now, we have to stop there for a moment, because if any of you ever turn on the TV and watch a lot of the TV preachers, you'll know they're constantly trying to predict when this will take place. And some of them have even been so bold as to give us an exact date. That's the time you know to turn the channel, right? Because Jesus himself said no one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, only God. But he says it'll be like this. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. So it will be as like in the days of Noah. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, right up to that day that Noah entered the ark. They didn't know anything about what was about to happen until the flood came and took them all away. That's how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Well, we turn back to Genesis to find out what was going on in the days of Noah, because he said it'll be just like it was in the days of Noah. And if we read about the causes of the flood, we read that the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So it will be as it was in the days of Noah. It will be a time of judgment when Jesus comes again. Jesus is not coming in the nice flowing robe with the staff and with the sheep in his arm as a loving shepherd. He's coming back in judgment. If you read about it in the book of Revelation, you get a description. The fire of indignation in his eyes and the sword of his word in judgment. It'll be a time of judgment as it was in the days of Noah, that people were living their lives like nothing was coming, just going about their evil business, giving in to their fleshly desires, living like they wanted, doing whatever they wanted, doing whatever felt good. And Jesus said they knew nothing about what would happen. It was as if they were asleep. Okay? Paul wrote about this when he wrote to the Thessalonians. He said, the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet call. You see, in the Jewish tradition, there were trumpet sounds that signaled the beginnings of feasts and special events and special days that the people were to observe. It was sort of like a public clock. But Paul told the Thessalonians that the very last one, there will be a signal, the last trumpet call, and in the twinkling of an eye, just like that, we will return to be with the Lord forever. His people, followers of Jesus Christ. So we learn three things from this. First of all, it will come without warning, although there will be signs when it happens. It will come without warning, which means no one will be able to say, well, I'm going to wait till I see the signs, and then I'm going to change my mind. It's not going to work like that. In the twinkling of an eye, in an instant, there will be no time to change anyone's mind, or no time to prepare. Secondly, it will be a time of judgment. When He comes, there will be judgment. Those who are in Christ will be taken to be with Him forever. Why would God take anyone else, especially His enemies, and those who rebel against Him and deny His truth and His Son? Why would God take them to be with Him forever? Thirdly, people will not be prepared, just like it was in the days of Noah. We say, well, what will happen to me if I'm not prepared? How can I be prepared? Well, Jesus went on to tell in some of the parables that it's going to be like this. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other will be left. One woman will be grinding at the handmill, or two women will be grinding at the handmill. One will be taken, one will be left. In the twinkling of an eye. Therefore, He says, keep watch, because you don't know what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house would have known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect Him. He talks about the parable of the wise servant. He talks about the parable of the 10 virgins, where there was wise virgins and foolish virgins that were ready when the bridegroom came. Some were, some weren't. The door was closed, and those who weren't prepared were left on the outside. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep, it says. But all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil, because you see, they were not prepared. They didn't have oil with them. He taught about the parable of the talents, to be about God's work, speaking about the servants who were given talents. And the man who received the one talent went off and dug a hole in the ground, and he hid his master's money. And when the master came back, he said to the man, where is the talents that I have given you? And he said, Master, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered. So I was afraid, and I went out and I hid your talent. You see, Jesus taught about this coming day, this big day that was coming, and how to be prepared, how to be ready. And it was all about working busily, being busy about the Lord's work, but also behaving decently. And Paul wrote to the Roman believers. He was writing in the context of how we were supposed to act, practicing righteousness in relation to our government. Now, I'm not going to get into that today, because that's not the sermon for today. But what he does say to the people is, do this, understanding the present time. In other words, what he's saying to them, I want you to understand the present time, right today, the way things are in the world, the way things are happening, what's all around us. Do this. Here's what I want you to do, Paul says. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. To wake up from your slumber, to collect your faculties, get yourself together, get your mind and your heart right. The night is nearly over, the day's almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not as in orgies and drunkenness and sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy, but rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. He says the time is near. Don't live this way, but behave decently. The King James Version says walk honestly or nobly. And the King James Version says put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you put on Jesus Christ and make not provisions for the flesh. Put on Christ. Be Christ. Be Christ-like in preparation for those days. As Paul again wrote to the Thessalonians, he says, "Now, brothers, about the times and dates, we don't need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." This is Paul writing. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. I hear so many people saying today, "Well, it's all good, it's all good, it's all good." Folks, it is not all good. We have to understand it's not all good. We're not all going up. The Bible tells us Jesus is coming. It's going to be a big day. It'll happen like a thief in the night when we least expect it. Where do you want to be when that happens? Where do you want to be when Jesus comes back again? In the bar? In the nightclubs? In bed with somebody else's spouse? Cursing and swearing about somebody else that lives next door because they don't agree with you about one thing or another? Out ramming around mean and ugly during this holiday season because we want to get more out of Christmas? Where do you want to be when Jesus comes again? The big day is coming. Jesus is coming again. When is the big day and what's going to happen? We don't know when it is. But we know He's coming to judge and divide an inheritance. He's coming to divide an inheritance and give out gifts of eternal life. We say, what should I do to receive inheritance? First of all, we make the Son of God our Master and our King. Jesus Christ, our King. Secondly, we be about the Master's work. Quit worrying about what day He's coming and worry more about helping others, taking care of others, and doing what Jesus would do if He'd be on earth Himself. Thirdly, behave like my Master would want me to, decently and in a Christ-like manner, behaving. After that, it doesn't matter when He comes. I'm ready for the big day. If I'm living like Christ wants me to live, glorifying God, and Jesus is my King and my Master. And I say this morning, it cannot come soon enough. This day cannot come soon enough. Some people say, they don't understand my thinking in that, but Jesus cannot come back soon enough, folks. Maybe He'll come back this week, maybe today, maybe in about 5 minutes He'll come back. And I want to ask you, does that put terror inside you? You say, well, gee, that's not really a good Christmas message. I want to see my granddaughter's eyes on Christmas morning when she sees this. Or I want to see my son's eyes. I want to spend more time with my children or my grandchildren or my family. Or I haven't had time yet to say thank you to someone, or I haven't had time to say I'm sorry to this person over here. I haven't had time to make amends. Folks, today is the day, right now is the time to do it, because we don't know the day or the hour. We say, well, He hasn't come in so many years. He's not going to come for a while. That was the lie of that first century, that the super apostles were saying, it's going to be a while before He comes back. We do not know. How can we challenge God's word like that and expect to get away with it? You see, having the mindset that Jesus can't come back soon enough, that we want Him to come right now, and we worry about all these things we want to do first, and time we want to spend with our family and our children and all that, I want to say something. If you've told them about Jesus Christ, you're going to spend that time and do those things for eternity. You're going to have the greatest Christmas ever in life if Jesus comes today. What a celebration we're going to have. Better than we can ever have here on this earth. This should bring you joy, because we sing the song, "When Christ shall come," with shouts of acclamation. Right? When Christ shall come, with shouts of acclamation, to take me home, What joy shall fill my heart? Do you really mean it when you sing it? Okay, if you do, what if that happens in 5 minutes? You still feel joy about that? We should be dancing and wishing it and hoping that He comes. Because how great is our God? How great Thou art! We have a great God who is going to send for us. What are we going to say? Well, God, wait. Whoa, whoa, God, wait. I'm not ready yet. I'm not prepared. I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do this. I'm not prepared. No. We say, come thou long expected Jesus. It's a great season to look around us, all around us, and ask ourselves, what's really important in this season of Advent? This season of preparation. This time to be reminded that as He came the first time, unexpectedly, when no one was looking for Him, He came. He's coming the second time, unexpectedly, when no one is looking for Him, and it'll be just like in the days of Noah. People will be partying, having a great time, saying, peace, great, this is great, it's all good, it's just wonderful, and Jesus will come back, and there will not be another chance to make our hearts right with Him. Jesus Himself said that we should be prepared, making the Son of God our Master, being about His work, behaving like He would want us to, because it will come without warning. It'll be a time of judgment, and heaven forbid that we're not prepared. So I just pray this season of Advent, which might be the time that Jesus does come back, because boy, our world sure looks like the days of Noah, doesn't it? Looks exactly like those days of Noah, and it has before. And maybe He won't come today, but boy, when He does come, what a glorious day that's going to be. What a celebration it's going to be. What joy shall fill our hearts, that we shall bow in humble adoration, there proclaim, my God, how great Thou art. A time of Advent, when we look back and remember what God gave us first in Jesus, and we look ahead to what He's going to give us when Jesus comes again. When will this happen? No one knows but God Himself. But I pray that when it does happen, we are prepared. Let's pray. Dear God, it's a joy that You have given us this warning and this word as we begin the season of Advent, that we might readjust our attitudes and our hearts for this season as we watch the world scurrying all around us. Help us to know that what truly matters is that we are looking forward to the coming of Jesus again as we celebrate in this holiday season. Help us to be prepared for that day when He'll come, that we might be appropriately dressed in robes of righteousness because we know Christ Jesus, that we might be living our lives decently as He wants us to live, and that we might be praising Him in preparation for His coming. In Christ's name, amen. Let us now hear a wonderful anthem this morning from our choir.